Okay, so in our parsha, we have an interesting dialogue that takes place between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu says that he wants Yivkor Hashem Elokei Aruchos L'chol Basar Isha La'edim. Moshe Rabbeinu says, it's time, I'm getting old, it's time to appoint a successor. Moshe Rabbeinu, Rashi tells us from the Medrash, Moshe Rabbeinu thought it was going to be his son. He thought he would be Mimana, one of his children, to be the next person to take over, but that was not the case. In fact, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gets back to him and he says, yes, we should appoint a successor, good idea. Kach l'chos Yoshua ben Nun. So Moshe Rabbeinu is totally confused. What do you mean? I thought it was going to be my son. All of a sudden you tell me Yoshua ben Nun. Isha sheruach bo v'samachta es yadcha alav. I want you to give smicha to Yoshua ben Nun, and he will be the successor of your position. So that's what Moshe Rabbeinu does. The psukim tell us, v'yikach es Yoshua v'yamideu lefnei Elazar HaKohen. He takes Yoshua ben Nun, and he stands him in front of Elazar HaKohen v'lefnei kol ha'eda. He goes ahead and he puts his hands onto the head of Yoshua ben Nun. And that's where everything developed from that time on, is when we have this idea of smicha going from one generation to the next. So the Gemara has in Sanhedrin Daf Yud Gimel, when the Gemara talks about some of the dinim of smicha, so the Gemara says, Rav Acha Brei de Rava LeRavashi asked the following shaila. When it says that Moshe Rabbeinu had to put his hands on the head of Yoshua ben Nun, what exactly does that mean? Biyada mamish samchin alei. So nowadays when we give smicha, you ever find, for anyone who has smicha, did the Rebbe actually go over to you and put his hands on you? It's not the case. What do? We just give a piece of paper. It says, you have a right to paskin o'shaila. What's with the smicha with the hands? So the Gemara says, no. Samchin alei b'shmei. Nowadays, all it means is you don't put your hands, the Rebbe doesn't put the hands on top of the Talmud. All it means is samchin alei b'shmei. We give you an official title and we say, from here on in, you're going to be called Rabbi. V'yavalei reshusei l'meidon dinei knasos. What does it mean now that I have smicha? So it means, now you have a right to go ahead and paskin shilos to dan dine knossos. Nowadays that we don't have knossos, what exactly does it mean? So the simple understanding is that it means nowadays that you have the right to paskin a shilos, and it's not considered a busha, a bizayon to your Rebbe, that you're getting involved in halacha when your Rebbe is still alive. That's the simple understanding. In fact, in Shulchan Aruch and Yoredeya, when it talks about the halachas of smicha, so the Mechaber writes in Reish Mem Beis and Chosha Mishpa in Yoredeya, Inun ha-smicha shenagu b'zman hazeh, what's this whole idea of smicha b'zman hazeh? He says that when a person gets smicha, the point is that everyone around him should know, that community should find out, that we believe, the people who signed on to the smicha believe, that this person is worthy of paskening a shayla. And when he's paskening, when he's paskening a shayla, it's not because he's a charlatan and he decides he wants to just make up things on his own. No, it means that he's really coming from a mesorah, he's coming from a direction from his Rebbe, and the Rebbe is the one who told him that he should go on and give this smicha. V'lachein, im kvar meis rabo, ein sarach l'smichas. Part of the reason why we have smicha is to give respect to my Rebbe, to show that really I have a right to paskin even though the Rebbe's alive. So the Mechaber says, nowadays, if the Rebbe wouldn't be alive, we probably would allow the person to paskin a shayla anyway, because there's no disrespect there. However, he ends off, mikol makom achshav, einu elo netilas reshus ba'alma, and he says, nowadays, basically what we're trying to do is you're asking reshus of the Rebbe, so a person should be careful to try to have a smicha. So Rav Moshe Feinstein points out in the Drash Moshe, if this is the case, that we don't really have to put the hands on it, so what was the symbolism? Why did Moshe Rabbeinu put his hands on Yoshua ben Nun? If really the Gemara comes to the conclusion that we don't have to do that when we give someone smicha. So what's the point? Why did Moshe Rabbeinu do it at all? So Rav Moshe explains, al derech ha'agada, maybe the pshat is the reason why he did it is to show some sort of symbolism that a Talmud, whenever he gets smicha, has to understand, yes, we're empowering you to go out and to lead a community. We're empowering you to go and paskin ashayla, but you always have to remember that you need to bow your head to the Rabbeim. You always have to remember that you're going to have to be under the hands of Moshe Rabbeinu. He's going to put his hands on top of you. You're going to have to bend down to get the smicha from him. So that was, so to speak, a symbolism that you always have to remember in a position of leadership to follow in the Mesorah that was set out by your Rabbeim, and to always follow in the tradition that they has set up for you in previous generations. So there's a fascinating shayla that was of interest, particular interest to me. I don't know how much it's of interest to other people that don't have my kind of situation. But what was interesting to me was the following. When I was getting smicha, so I learned all the years in YU by my father. I didn't go to other rabbeim, I learned by my father. So the question was, who's going to sign my smicha? Is my father allowed to be the one to give me smicha? So this is an interesting shayla. So you'll say, what? Why not? Why shouldn't he be allowed to? So let's see in a minute. We happen to be learning Avodah Zarah, and the Gemara has in Avodah Zarah that La'asad Lavo, there's going to be some sort of disagreement between the Umas Ha'olam and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why didn't you keep the Torah? So they say, what do you mean? Did you give us an opportunity to keep it? So he says, yes, I did give you a chance to keep it. You chose not to take it. Back and forth, and finally they develop their arguments, and the Umas Ha'olam say back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, well, You gave the Torah to the Jewish people and they didn't follow it. So they're not so good themselves. Why are you having claims against us? They didn't even follow what you gave them. So the Gemara says, excuse me, I can be made on my children that they did follow the Torah, that they were scrupulous, they were careful to do everything they were supposed to do. Ask the Umas HaOlam back, Klum Av Meid Abano. What, we're supposed to trust you? You, God, you tell us that your children follow the rules of the Torah. It says, B'ni B'chari Yisrael. It says that you consider the Jewish people to be your eldest son, your B'char. So if you consider them your children, does a father have a right to give an edus about his son? Does a father really have belief when he tells us, oh, my son is such a tzaddik, my son is such a Talmud Chacham, he's so wonderful. What right does the father have? We shouldn't believe him. Of course the father is going to say that about his son. So the Umas HaOlam had this taina, had this claim against the HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why should we believe you when you say that your children are worthy and they kept the Torah? You're the father. Of course you're going to say that your kids were good kids. Which father is going to say that his kids weren't? So from there developed the famous line, Klum Av Meid Abano. Does a father really have a right to be made on his son? And based on that, the Halachas Ketanos, as quoted in the Pisachei Tshuva in Yerideya, points out, well, maybe we should say that a father does not have a right to give his child smicha. Because what's the whole point of the smicha is to say, my son is roi lekach, my son is worthy of getting, of paskening a shayla, he learned well, he knows his stuff, and he can pasken on his own, and he has my permission. Well, what right does a father have to say that about his son? Klum av meid al beno. Does a father really have a right to say, oh, my son is such a big Talmud Chacham? Of course the father wants his son to be popular. So if the father signs up on the smicha, that shouldn't count for anything. So this is the shayla that he discusses. So he brings a raya. The Gemara has here in Sanhedrin Daf Hei, when the Gemara discusses about smicha in the beginning of the first parak, so he brings a raya like this. The Gemara says, the Rabbi Bar Rav Huna, ki avi minsi bahadi resh galusa. So Rabbi Bar Rav Huna didn't get along with the resh galusa. Amar lav minaychuna kidna reshusa. I don't need to get smicha from you. Who are you guys? I don't need your smicha. Na kidna reshusa miyaba mari. I already have smicha from my father, and my father had smicha from some other big Talmud Chacham. So what do I need you for? I don't need the yeshiva. I made my own system. I can get smicha from my father, and it's all fine. So he says, it seems clear that smicha can be administered by a father and given over to his child, even though we know klum av meid al beno, even though we know the Gemara says a father is not allowed to give testimony for his son because obviously he wants to say that his son is a prominent person. However, the Gemara seems to say a clear story that we have a case where one of the Amoraim got smicha from his father. The Pesachei Tshuva quotes from the Shvus Yaakov that the Shvus Yaakov is not so convinced, he's not sure. So says the Shvus Yaakov like this, we have a minig, the Shulchan Aruch talks in Hilchos Shechita, that the minig developed that a person should always make sure before doing a Shechita that you have a Kabbalah. Hi, we know the halacha is Eidecha Nehman B'Yisurin. Whenever we talk about Issur V'Heter, a person is believed on his own. Let's say the Tosfos in Nida has the case. Where do we have the origin for this halacha? So Tosfos says, well, every time a person's wife goes to the mikveh, we don't have Eidim that say that she went into the mikveh, she's believed on her own. Why? Because Eidecha Nehman B'Yisurin. Every time somebody cooks in the kitchen, you have to sit there and have a mashgiach? No, unless I have a restaurant and maybe I'm trying to make money or a store. But if I'm a private person in my own home, I am believed. Why? Because Eidecha Nehman B'Yisurin. There are certain areas of halacha where I'm believed on my own. So too over here, when you have shechita, you have a shochet getting up there and doing a shechita. Why shouldn't we trust him on his own when he says, I did a kasher with shechita, I know what I'm talking about, everything's fine? So the truth is, really, we do believe such a person. Really, Eidecha Nehman B'Yisurin should work on a shochet, and that should be enough to qualify him to do a shechita. However, the minig develops, says the Rama. In Europe, they developed a minig that nobody does shechita without having a kabbalah, without having a smicha that says that I know the halachas of hilchos shechita. Now, what exactly do you have to know? So the Rama says, well, you have to know a little bit. Says the Beis Yosef, what's a little bit? The Beis Yosef says, well, pashut, you have to know all Chaf Dalet's Sifrei Tanakh. That's no question. So we would all be disqualified. So that's number one, you have to know Chaf Dalet's Sifrei Tanakh, and that's called knowing a little bit. Then on top of that, you also have to know Yeridei, you have to know Hilchos Shechita, you have to know Bedikas Hasak, and you have to know all the halachas. On top of knowing the little bit of Chaf Dalet's Sifrei Tanakh inside out. Okay? The Rama disagrees. The Rama says, no, it's good enough just if you know the halachas of Shechita and of Bedikas Hasak, and that's good enough. Now, who's able to give that Kabbalah? Let's say my father's been the Shochet in town for the last 50 years. Who else wants to be a Shochet? Nobody. My name is Schechter. So, we just realized. So we happen to be the Shochtim in the town. It's not a nice job. How many people want to be a Shochet? It smells in the factory. It smells in the Shlachni. Who wants to be involved? So nobody wants to be involved. So the only person who wants to be involved is the son. Why? Because he saw his whole life that his father was doing the Shechita. So he wants to get into the business. His father already has a good business. Well, who's supposed to teach me the halachas? The best person in town who knows it is my father. So my father writes a smicha for me, and he says, by the way, I want everyone to know my son is a good shochet. Well, does that work or not? Klumav meid al mano. Can a father really sign off on his son that he's worthy of being a shochet, that he's worthy of having a kabbalah for smicha? So this is discussed in the Achronim in Yeridaya, Simen Aleph and Ilcha Shechita. And the Achronim, the Shavus Yaakov, comes to the conclusion that he thinks probably Me'ikar Adin, the father, would be believed to sign off on his son smicha that he's allowed to be a shochet. Why? So he says as follows. Number one, he says, really, Me'ikar Adin, we hold Erechanem B'Surin. So he's believed on his own without the smicha. We have a minhag developed that we make sure to always get a smicha, but really, Me'ikar Adin, you don't need it. Number two, he says, the halacha is, the Gemara tells us, Rob Mitzuyin Eitzel Shechita Mumchenheim. We have a right to assume. Which crazy person is going to get involved in trying to shecht an animal if he doesn't know what he's doing? So the assumption is, before you start, the assumption is that anyone who's shechting an animal probably knows what he's doing. There's a rov. There's a probability that probably most of the people who are doing shechita know what they're doing. So therefore he says, when you have a rov, and you have the Erechanem and Bisurun, and you have everything leaning, and plus he says another svara, that he says a third svara is that it's a milso David de Lugluye. If the guy's going to go on shechting all over the place, one day someone's going to catch up with him. Someone's going to find out that he did the wrong thing, that he doesn't know what he's doing. So we assume probably the person knows what he's doing, and therefore he says the father, it's just a formality. So the father's allowed to sign off because they don't really need it in the first place, it's just a minig. So to be Mekayim the minig, it's good enough for the father to sign off on the kid. This shaila was raised more recently by the Sri Deish, and the Sri Deish, Rabbi Chiel Yaakov Weinberg, who lived right before the Holocaust, so he was also not sure about it, and he writes, L'didi ena davar pashat kol kach. I don't think it's such a simple issue. I'm not so clear that a father is allowed to give a smicha to his son. And he writes that he vacillates, he's not sure, he goes back and forth, and he says, well, the truth is, in the end of the day, if you look at the Gemara in Sanhedrin, the Gemara is a very striking statement. The Gemara asks here in Sanhedrin, Daf Hayamid Beis, well, what's the point of the smicha in the first place? What do we need this for? After all, if the person's a Talmud Chacham, people will find out that he's a Talmud Chacham, with or without the piece of paper that says that he's worthy of giving a shir, that he's worthy of being a rabbi. And if he has a piece of paper and really he's an oisvar, if he doesn't know anything, so then that's also a joke. So what's the point of the whole smicha? So nowadays we know, well, you can have plenty of oisvars who get a ksav smicha and they get away with it. But we're talking about a generation where people actually can understand that if you get a smicha and you don't know what you're talking about, it's not going to work. So the Gemara asks, so what's the point? If you don't know anything, they'll see straight through you. If you know a lot, so then what do you need it for? They'll hire you anyway. So Gemara says, you're right. The reason why we have the smicha is for a totally different reason. It's a pellet. You know, we have in YU, we have speech classes in smicha. It turns out, the Gemara says, the whole smicha is really to prove, to sign off on a piece of paper that you know to speak clearly, that you know to communicate Torah thoughts effectively. Because the Gemara says there was once a rabbi who went out to a community, and he passed in the shaila, and he gave a shir, and people completely misunderstood him, and because they misunderstood him, because he didn't speak clearly, a terrible takala came out, a mistaken halacha emerged, and therefore it says from that time on, they decided we have to give smicha. Why? Because we have to make sure that somebody signs off that the guy knows how to communicate Torah thoughts effectively. So in essence, all the smicha is, it's not that I'm saying my son is a big Talmud Chacham. It's not that I'm saying my son is such a prominent rabbi. Well then, if that would be the smicha, then klum av meid al beno, does a father really have a right to tell about his son that he's such a big Talmud Chacham? Maybe we shouldn't believe him. But the smicha really only might be just to say that we listen to this person speak, and we know that he knows how to speak clearly. That's good enough. And that's really all the smicha is about. So this is a very interesting discussion that the Achronim have, whether or not we should say that a person is allowed to get a smicha from his father. Should we assume that the father has something going against him? Of course he wants his son to be prominent, so of course he's going to say some made-up story about the son, so we shouldn't trust the smicha. Or do you say, no, smicha bizman azeh, really all it proves is that the person knows how to speak clearly. The fact that the person is a prominent Talmud Chacham, let the people decide that. If they see that he's not, they'll get rid of him. If they see that he is, they'll keep him anyway. With or without the smicha, that's what the Gemara tells us. What's interesting is, now that we're talking about Yeshua ben Nun, Moshe Rabbeinu, about leadership, so what's interesting is the Medrash tells us when Moshe Rabbeinu was chosen as the leader in the beginning of Sefer Shmos, so the Medrash tells us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu tested Moshe Rabbeinu and David HaMelech to figure out whether or not they should be the leaders with two different tests. Number one, says the Gemara, says the Medrash, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tested them with tzon. He tests them to see if they know how to have sensitivity, to see if they know how to care for the tzon, for the sheep. And after they see that Moshe Rabbeinu is so sensitive to the sheep and he carries the sheep on his shoulder after the sheep ran away, so Hashem says, Kal v'chomer, if you know how to treat an animal so sensitively, so then certainly you would be allowed to, certainly I'm going to allow you to lead the Jewish people and be sensitive to them. A leader has to be a sensitive person. Number two, says the Medrash, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to see, is Moshe Rabbeinu and David HaMelech, are they going to lead the animals, someone want to close the door maybe? Are they going to lead the animals in a place which doesn't belong to them? So the Gemara says that the Medrash says that they watched, we watched to see how is Moshe Rabbeinu, how is David HaMelech going to lead the sheep? And the Medrash tells us that they led them only in the Midbar, in a place that was Hefker, so this way they wouldn't be stealing from anyone. What you see from this Medrash is a very important thing, that there are two very critical components to being a Jewish leader. Number one, you have to be somebody who's caring, who's compassionate, who's sensitive, and who understands the needs of the people. But number two, what the Medrash also adds on here is that the job of the leader of the Jewish people, of the Rav, of the person who gets smicha, as we have in our parsha, Yoshua ben Nun, is to be a stickler for the halacha. The Rabbanu Shalom wants to see, are you going to make sure that you're unwavering, that you have an authoritarian figure, that you're going to make sure that we never bend the rules, even though you have a very great sense of compassion, you have a very great sense of care for people. Obviously, there's the chatchila b'dieved, but there's a line that you can't cross, and that's what a leader has to keep in mind as well. I once saw Reb Shel Yisraeli, one of the chief rabbis of Eretz Yisrael, wrote a beautiful drasha, where he writes that a manik Yisrael has to be, number one, shlucha didan, he has to serve as the parnes l'fi hadar, like the Gemara says in Erechin, that we always create a leader who's somewhat in tune with what the generation needs. The Gemara says in Brachos also, Emamidim Parnas Alatzibur, Elam Kenim Nachem Bahem Tchila. You have to ask the people, is this someone you're comfortable with or not? Is it someone who understands what you need? Is it someone who understands where you're holding or not? But number two, he says the leader has to serve as the Shlucha Derachmana. Not only is he the Shliach of us, of human beings, of the community, but he's also the Shliach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to make sure that the laws of the Torah, that everything that the Torah stands for, is followed through and is stuck to as closely as possible. In fact, the Pasuk writes in Parsha Shoftim, Losita lacha sheira etzem mazbach Hashem elokecha. Then the end of the Pasuk is, Losakim lacha matzeva. So the Gemara darshans in Sanhedrin, Azhara lamona dayon she'eno hagen. This Pasuk is coming to warn somebody, if you are involved in a committee that hires a dayon that you know is corrupt, you're going to be punished for that. Losita lacha sheira, losakim lacha matzeva. So I once saw in a sefer a beautiful pshat. When you hire a dayan, when you hire a person as a rav in a community, you have to make sure you have two different kinds of personalities. Some people are just the matzeva. This is what it is, and this is what it's going to be, and I need to focus on my own things. I don't care about you. I'm just busy preparing my shiurim, preparing my drushas, and it doesn't make a difference to me what everyone else is doing. I'm busy doing my thing. I want to grow to become great myself. You have other people who are like an asherah, who are like a tree, who are always waving back and forth. They're so busy dealing with all the politics and dealing with everyone's dealings that they don't have a chance to ever become great on their own. They don't have any standards. They don't stand for anything on their own. They're always waving back and forth depending on what the community wants of them. And they don't have that stickler personality to the halacha to make sure that they are also not only the shlucha didan, but also the shlucha derachmana. That's what the pasuk says. Lo sita lacha asherah, number one. You can't be an asherah where you're always waving back and forth. And number two, lo sakam lacha matzeva. You can't be a person who always thinks, oh, I'm going to be in the position of leadership and just stay there and not care about what everyone else really wants from me. This is what we find by, this will close, the Pasuk says in Parsha B'Shalach, a famous Vart, Pasuk says that Moshe Rabbeinu had his hands up, Aaron v'chur tamchu mizeachad mizeachad. Aaron held the hand of Moshe Rabbeinu on one side and Chur held on the other side. So you'll say the Pasuk Shat is because Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't hold his hands for so long, he needed people to hold his hands. It's obviously the Pasuk Shat. But the Darshanim say the Pshat is like this. What was the difference between Aaron and Hur? Aaron, as we know, was the Oyev Shalom or Odev Shalom. Aaron was the one who was always in the machana, taking care of all the politics, all the problems. He was working everything out. On the one hand, the leader needs to have the Aaron HaKohen inside of him. On the other hand, who was Hur? What do we know about Hur? When it came to the story of the Egel, Hur put his foot down and he said, absolutely not. And Hur, in fact, loses his life. He's willing to stand up for what's right, and he's willing to say, this is what it is, and we're not gonna move from the truth. This is what the emes. This is the shlucha derachmana. This is what I'm supposed to be. On the one hand, Moshe Rabbeinu has the Aaron, who's the Oyev Shalom v'Odev Shalom, who's sensitive, who's caring and compassionate to the needs of the people. But on the other hand, he also needs to have the balance of the Chur, to know when you have to put your foot down, to know when the manna gets to say, there's a gvul, there's a line, and you can't cross that line. So that's what it means, Aaron, v'chur, mizeachad, mizeachad, that the leader has to know when to evoke both of these two qualities. On the one hand, when to be strong and serious about the standard. And on the other hand, when to understand, when to be an asherah, when to be a matzeva. I guess we can say a kaddish if there's someone here who has to...